your heart. Surrender to the Lord. And Lord, whatever you want, take my life and use it. Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. As we continue looking at this thought that we started the first Sunday of the new year, how are we to walk in 2022? How are we to walk? How are we to live our lives in this new year? How does God want us to be? Remember, Paul was approaching this church of Ephesus, this local church. And as he went to this local church, he says, I beseech you. He says, I'm begging you out of love. I want you, church, to get these truths. And as we've looked at each week, I want us as a church, as individuals living for Christ, as blood-bought believers of God, to get these truths that Paul was trying to get to the church of Ephesus that we need to glean in our own lives and walk the way God wants us to walk this upcoming, this year. Now, we looked at the thought of walking worthy. We thought the thought of walking in unity, walking in grace, walking differently, walking delivered, walking with peace, walking pleasing. And last week, we started looking at the end of the chapter. We looked at verse 31, and we looked at the thought of walking in the right spirit. Walking in the right spirit. Let me just read these verses and give some thoughts, and then we're going to get in. We'll do a quick review of last week, and then we'll get in to this morning. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we looked at last week. We talked about the bitter spirit. As we will contrast, we see the contrast that is given in verse 31 and verse 32. This morning we're going to look at verse 32 and contrast it to verse 31. Now, those that weren't here last week, we'll do our best to kind of do a quick review as we look at this and give some of the thoughts and contrast. But I want us to understand, out of bitterness, look at verse 31, out of bitterness comes the wrath. Comes the anger, comes the clamor, comes the evil speaking, and that's supposed to be put away from you with all malice, but out of bitter spirit comes that. This morning we're going to look at the kind spirit. We're going to look at what it means to be kind, and what does kind produce. And we're going to contrast the two in our lives. I came across an illustration this last week. There was a company that was hiring an individual to take over a section of their company. And the CEO of the company decided that he was going to hire someone that he thought would do a great job. He didn't ask anyone that worked with him on a regular basis. He just hired this individual. This individual was, in his thought, one of the hardest working individuals his company had. This individual had all these characteristics that he thought would make him a great individual to be in this leadership role. He hired him. This individual was supposed to get 15 to 20 other people underneath him and were going to be his crew for this new part they were starting in this business. They put out the plea for people to apply for this position. This position was going to increase pay of $5 an hour, and they had a bonus to go with it. They thought they would have more people than they knew what to do with because they were only going to hire 15 to 20 people. Weeks went by, and not one person applied for this position. The CEO of the company could not understand why no one would apply for this job. So he increased the pay even more, increased the bonus even more. Still, weeks went by, and not one person applied for the position. Finally, the CEO went in and talked to a supervisor manager that was on the floor and was with this individual and says, why is nobody applying for the job? They said, it's because who you put over. That person is a bitter person. That person explodes. That person backbites. That person does all this and started going through all this characteristics of this person. He said, well, this person's a hard working person. This person this. He says, yes, but because of his spirit, Nobody wants to work for him. So the CEO decided to remove that person from that position. He went and he talked to that supervisor and asked, who would you put? He said, there is a person that you might not even know. He's a very humble person, and he's a kind person. He has compassion. He says, if you put him in that position, you could lower the pay, and everyone would work for him. So he did just that. He put that person in position. He moved the pay way down. He removed the bonus, and they had over 200 people apply for that job in a matter of a day. What type of spirit do we have? Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask as we look at your word this morning, you would help us to see the truths you want us to glean. And Lord, we pray if there is one that does not know you, Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look with me again in verse 31. And be ye kind one to another. This idea is becoming kind. It is a progression. It is a work. It is something that needs to be doing. This is the spirit we need to be having. As Paul is addressing this church of Ephesus, he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by having a bitter spirit, but please the Holy Spirit by having a kind spirit. And it's something we have to be working towards. Did you know by nature, you and I are not kind people? Did you know that? We are not kind people because we are wicked individuals saved by the grace of God. We are selfish people. We are bitter people. But we're not kind people by nature. This is something that we need to put on. This is something that we need to become. This is something that we need to work on in our lives. And as Paul's addressing them, they said, I want you to become kind. I want you as a church. I want you as an individual to have kindness a part of your life. What is kindness? That's good, pleasant, gracious. You see, there's two types of people in this world. There's the bitter spirit and there's the kind spirit. There's those that grieve and those that please. And God says, I want you to be kind. I want you to be pleasant. I want you to be gracious. And I tell you, this day and age, we need to be kind individuals. If we're going to make a difference for Christ, if we're going to be the type of church that God wants us to be, if we're going to be that testimony in this lost and dying world, you and I, as God's children, as blood-bought children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we need to be kind. We need to be pleasant. We need to be gracious. We need not to be like the bitter spirit that explodes. The bitter spirit, as we looked at, clamors, has malice, ill word towards people, wants to do harm to people, wants to get their agenda pushed, wants their way of doing things. That's the bitter person. A bitter person is taking their hurt or is taking their displeasure, taking whatever, and has allowed it to make them bitter, and then they allow it to come out in their lives. And people say, well, you know what, I'm not bitter. Well, if you're evil speaking, if you have clamor, if you have malice, if you have those things, there's a bitter spirit in you. Because you should not have those outrages. You should not have those things. Because the contrast is a kind spirit. And a kind spirit is gentle. Do you know the fruit of the Spirit? The word gentleness is the same word translated kind here in this scripture. A kind person is a gentle, pleasant, understanding, helpful, gracious individual. That's what God wants us to be. This is what we're to be becoming. That means when someone steps on your toes, someone hurts your feelings, someone hurts you, someone does harm to you, as we looked at last week, when someone, a spouse, a child, a co-worker, someone does something that hurts you, you're kind. You're not harsh. You're not bitter. There's a difference. It means we're gracious. It means we understand and see. Now, this is something we all have to work on. that we understand and we see that someone is hurting, and we see the way they're acting is because of their hurt, and we don't lash back at them, we show kindness back to them. What do we always tell our kids? We're so good at telling kids this. If someone's mean to you, just kill them with kindness, right? That's what we tell them. If someone's mean to you, if someone did something to you, if your sibling pulled your hair, if someone did something, just kill them with kindness. Don't react back to them. Don't slap them back. Oh, come on. Yeah, I know some of you done that. Don't slap them back. Don't do those things. Don't call them names back. Don't try to be hateful, resentful. Don't try to be bitter. Be kind and respond the right way. You know what we need to do? We need to take those lessons we try to teach our children and hit ourselves sometimes with it. How many need to do that? No, you don't have to raise your hand. I think we all need to do that, right? Because we need to be kind. Do you know someone's going to hurt you? Probably this week. Did you know that? Someone's going to do wrong to you this week. Someone's going to do something that makes you not too happy with them. And you know what we need to do? We need to show kindness back to them. You see, if you develop this and we work on being this kind individual, the Bible tells us that we're to show this grace, this love. Now, we're going to look later on as it's compared, what a God is even comparing it to. It's comparing to himself and how we need to be in this. Now, look at this, verse 31. And be kind one to another. Now, I find this very interesting as having the right spirit. We're going to work on kindness one to another. It doesn't give qualifications who you're to be kind to. Did you get that? It does not give you the qualifications who you need to be kind to. Now, I tell you, for me, it's easy to be kind to someone that's kind to me. It's easy to be kind to someone that has done something for me and helped me and given me something. It's very kind to be able to do, it's very easy to do that stuff for people you like and you love. But I say like before love, because we're supposed to love everyone. But it's a lot easier to do stuff for people you like, right? Because there's a difference between loving someone and liking someone, we understand. And it's easy to do something for someone you like. But how easy is it to do something for someone that has done harm towards you? That's harder. I tell you, if someone has hurt you, what is the first reaction that we want to do? How can I make their life miserable? Oh, come on, preacher. None of us ever think that way. You bunch of liars. We all do, right? We want to get revenge. We want to keep score, right? The kids do that little whatever, and they keep scoring points in that. Wait, a kind person does not do that. A kind person does not react that way. So what does a kind person do? Well, what does the Bible says? And be ye kind one to another. Doesn't matter if that person's treated you bad. Doesn't matter if that person treats you well. Doesn't matter if you like that person. It doesn't matter if that person's on the same plane you are. Doesn't matter if that person is doing this things you like or don't like. It doesn't matter if that person's saved or unsaved. It doesn't matter if that person is involved in things you think they shouldn't be involved in. It doesn't matter if that person has said this about you or done this about you. It doesn't matter. We are to be kind one to another. It doesn't matter if you agree with that person about the color of the carpet. It doesn't matter what you agree with or disagree with. What it matters is we are to be kind one to another. We're to be kind to everybody. No matter who they are. No matter what they are, we're to be kind to them. So how does this kindness look? This gentleness look? It says, out of kindness comes what? Tenderhearted. That word tenderhearted is the same word we get compassionate. It carries the idea to have strong bowels. It's that idea of that movement and being moved with compassion, the same compassion that Jesus had for the sheep with no shepherd. We find in the New Testament in Matthew. It's this idea of being tender-hearted. See, a kind person is tender. Now, I like to use some illustrations sometimes, and one of my favorite things, even though I don't eat as much as I did at one time, is food. And my favorite food, and I was so worried about after all this that I would not like it anymore, and I still do, is steak. I love steak. Now, please, if you like what I'm going to mention, please don't take this wrong. But I tell you, the worst steak I've ever had in my life is a restaurant called Sizzler. It is the worst steak ever. But some of us cheapskates like when they have their $9.99 special with the salad bar, all right? $9.99 salad bar. The steak is good to take home for your dog, all right? Eat the salad bar and take the steak home. And usually that $9.99 special is really chewy, to say the least. You could take hours eating the steak there at that restaurant because you're not able to chew it and digest it the way you should. Because it's tough. Now, I want us to think about this. Now, one of my favorite steaks is the one I cook. And I like to make sure that you break down the membranes of the steak and then you use some seasonings and some other things to marinate it and let it sit. And you even take the knife and you can score it a little bit to get it there. And you let it sit at room temperature. And then you cook it and you sear it on both sides. And then you allow the middle, now I know some of you are going to get grossed out, allow it to be that medium rareish color in the middle. You know, you want it warm and you don't want it cold, but you want it where it's still moving a little bit. And you go ahead and, I know it's wrong. And you go ahead and you get it. And then you can almost, and then after you're done cooking it, you put a little slab of butter on the top. And the butter melts down on top. And then you can almost take a fork. Some of you are getting hungry. And you can take a fork, and you can almost cut it with the fork because it's so tender. Do you know that is what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be tender. We're not supposed to be hard. We're not supposed to be like that Sizzler steak where you chew and chew and chew and chew and so tough. We're supposed to be tender. Do you know what Paul is saying to this church? I want you to be kind. I want you to be tender. How are you tender? That you start being concerned about others and not concerned about yourself. See, a kind person is tender-hearted. A kind person is tender-hearted where they are compassionate and they care about others more than they care about themselves. A tender person puts the other person above them and puts themselves below. It's not about me doing this. It's not about me having my agenda. It's not about me doing what I want to do. It's about God being glorified. And if God's going to be glorified, I'm going to become tender-hearted. And I don't care about all those other things because I'm going to put everyone else and their needs above my needs. You know what happens a lot of times? You know what some of the struggles in marriage is? You take two oddballs and you put two oddballs together that have many different opinions and hobbies and interests and views, and you put them together, and if both people are not tender-hearted, if both people are not at the place where they need to be, what happens when you put them together? There's tension that happens. Why? Because what do they want to do? What do they want to do in that? They want their agenda. They want what they want. They want what they want above what the other person. Sorry, my hunting is the most important thing in this world. So what? It's our anniversary. So what? You planned this and you spent this money. So what? Because what I want is what matters. No, a tender person says, whatever you want, whatever your need is, I am willing to forego what I want and put you first in my life. A tender person sees someone else hurting and does not care about their own hurt and puts their hurt above themselves. A tender-hearted person, a compassionate person, looks around and sees, how can I be a blessing to someone? How can I create the right spirit for God to work? You see, a bitter person doesn't care. A bitter person just reacts. A bitter person just does things. And you know what happens when a bitter person lashes out and does all the things we talked about last week? What does it do to the demeanor of everyone else? What does it do to the services of a church? What does it do to your Sunday school class? What does it do in your home? What does it do? It makes a mess. And what happens is it ruins it and it distracts from what needs to be done. But a kind person does what? Sees others' needs, wants to be a blessing, creates a spirit where God can work in the church, where God can work in the home, where God can work in whatever situation you're in. That's what a kind person does. They have a tenderness. They have a softness. They're not ready just to push and get what they want done. They come to this place that they're tender-hearted. And they said, well, you know what? I know so-and-so is going through some hard time. And yes, they shouldn't have done this, and they shouldn't have acted this way, and they should have asked me my opinion, and they should have done this. But I'm going to show tenderness to them, compassion to them, and I'm not going to react. I'm going to show love, and I'm going to handle things the way God wants me to handle it. What happens if that happened in the home? I want you to think about for a moment. What happens if everyone in the home, from mom and dad to the children, were all tender and cared about the other's needs in the home? How many think it would be a nice, joyful place? It would, right? Because what happens with kids in the home? And I'm sorry, kids, I love you. But what happens with kids in the home especially? And I'm not talking just the little kids. I'm talking the grown-up kids too, all right? What happens in the home? The kids want what they want. And they don't care what they're going to do. They're going to get what they want. But a kind, compassionate person says, I'm not going to try to get what I want. I want to make you happy and show compassion and glorify God. Now let me give this thought. How many of you cook and clean for your kids on a regular basis? Oh, none of you do? Your kids do all the cooking and cleaning. All right. That's great. It might be better than Sizzler steak, but I'm not coming to your house. All right. Cook and clean. Many of us cook and clean for our kids. We do things in that. And sometimes what happens in that? You cook, you clean, you do all that. But once in a while, something wonderful happens. And I'm sorry it has to wait for a holiday, a Hallmark one at that. But Mother's Day comes. And what sometimes does some kids do? They decide it's not about them for that day or that hour. Because usually it changes quick, right? And they sometimes make you breakfast in bed. And they want to just please you and make you that wonderful breakfast in bed. Because now it's not about you slaving and making them breakfast. They want to show that love towards you. Now I want you to think about it. Compassion is this. Tender heart is this. That we see that someone else needs the love we desire, and we want to show that love to someone else. Did you get that? Compassion is understanding the love we desire and showing that love to someone else. A bitter person cares about themselves. A kind person is tender-hearted, where they see what they desire, what they want, and they give it to someone else. Do you know what makes the best servers in a restaurant? Are ones that have sat in a restaurant and hated the service they've gotten. Because you and I know how we want it done. And so the best server is the one that takes what they know, what they want, and they show it. And they do it. I tell you, it is nice to have a server that shows that compassion, and they bring and they take and that. How many of you always wanted to become a teacher because you didn't like the teachers you had? And you knew how you wanted to do it. And some have become teachers, and they make the best teachers. Why? Because they've saw what they wanted and what they desired, and they were going to take that and they were going to demonstrate it in the way they taught. Compassion is taking what we desire for love and grace and kindness, and bestowing that upon others the same way. You see, it says, let all and be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Kindness is tender. Kindness is forgiving. Forgiving. Now, preacher, you're pushing it. Because you don't understand how mean, how cruel, how ugly that person was. You don't understand, preacher, some of the torture that person caused me. You understand what my brother made me eat as a child? Do you understand what my sister used to do? Do you understand how mean and cruel those individuals were? Do you know a kind person is tender, and when you're tender, you forgive? What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is simply understanding you've been hurt, but you're not going to dwell on your hurt. You're going to give your hurt to God. That's forgiveness. Did you get that? Forgiveness is simply understanding you've been hurt, but not allowing your hurt to make you bitter, and you take your hurt and you give it over to God and you cast it at the feet of Jesus. That's forgiveness. Now, I'm going to say something that goes contrary to what most people teach. Forgiveness is not forgetfulness. Forgiveness is dealing with it, giving it to God, and not bringing it back up. But it's not forgetful, because you have a very hard time erasing some memories. You have a very hard time erasing some things that has happened to you. If your arm got cut off, you can't forget that your arm got cut off. It's still cut off. But I don't have to let my cut off arm stop me from doing what God wants me to do. You might have been hurt. Your arm might have been cut off. You might have been had gone through some hard times. But if you allow your cut off arm to affect you, you have a bitter spirit. A kind person is tender and forgiving. Even though my arm's cut off, I've forgiven that person. I'm not going to bring it back up. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I've given it to God, and I'm not going to allow it to stop me being kind and loving as God wants me to be. You see, a kind person doesn't rehash everything. It is very interesting how when you can go for some length of time, and then all of a sudden, something hits you, and it brings back all this baggage, all this stuff from the past. And what do you do? Well, do you remember, Rick? 30 years ago, you did this. 29 years ago, you did this. 28 years ago, you did this. And you start listing everything that person did, and you start rehashing everything. Do you know that's not a forgiving spirit? A forgiving spirit says, yes, I know you did that, but I'm not going to bring that up with you. I've given that to God. I'm not going to allow the devil to bring that back up in my life. I've given it to God.
I've shown that person forgiveness. I've shown that person forgiveness, and I'm not going to bring that back up. Oh, I know Brother Rex has done that, and he's done a lot, and I know he's done those certain things, and I know that. But you know what? I'm not going to bring that up anymore because that's in the past, and God has forgiven him, and God has forgiven me, and we're going to move forward for the glory of God. That's a kind person. That's a tender-hearted person. One who has shown forgiveness in their lives. That forgiving means to pardon, to extend to an offending party, is to give that pardon, give that forgiveness to that individual. The Bible says forgive 70 times 7. It carries the idea of forgiving over and over and over again. Well, I have forgiven them, but don't let me see them ever again. I've forgiven them, but let me tell you what they did to me a few years ago. Oh, I've forgiven them because I'm supposed to forgive. Even as for God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me, I'm going to forgive them. But man, if I ever get a chance, I'm going to get revenge. That's a bitter spirit. And that's not true forgiveness. A kind person says, I know they've done this. And I know they've done it to me over and over and over and over and over again. But I'm going to show gentleness. I'm going to show love. I'm going to forgive them. And I'm not going to hold it against them. I've given it to God. And it's at the feet of Jesus. You see, it says, be kind one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Do you know what the example is? As we look at having the right spirit, is Jesus himself. Jesus himself is the right example. I want you and me to look this morning. How have you and I hurt God? What do you mean? Well, if you're saved this morning, you're a child of his. If there's been a time in your life when God opened your eyes, you realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior, you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. You're a child of his. You're saved by the precious blood of the Lamb. You're not trusting works. You're not trusting traditions. You're not trusting any of those things. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning, how do you and I hurt God? The Bible says our sin is an abomination unto the Lord. We make God sick when we sin. Do you know how do we hurt God? By not living the way we're supposed to be living. You know how we hurt God? By not being faithful the way we're supposed to be faithful. We hurt God by not having the right spirit, and we can go in and the whole thing. And living in sin and all those things mentioned in Scripture, that's how we hurt God. But you know what God says? My child, I'm long-suffering. I'm compassionate for you. I'm tender-hearted towards you. And I've saved you. And I forgive you. Aren't you glad? God has forgiven you in regards first and foremost in salvation, but God forgives you each and every day of our lives. Do you know even when David sinned against Bathsheba and he asked God to search him and he went through his life, he poured out to God. Do you know God still forgave David? Do you know when you and I sin, and most of us sin every day, more than once in a day, do you know we confess it, God forgives us? I'm so glad God doesn't bring it back up to us. Now the devil does. Have you noticed that? The devil brings it back up because he wants you not to have the right spirit. He wants you to have a bitter spirit, and he wants you to do those things. God doesn't bring it back up. God forgives us. And that same forgiveness is the forgiveness we need to show one another. I read a story how a mom and a son hadn't talked in 30 years. And the reason was there was some miscommunication given. And the son thought the mom said something about him that she didn't say. But instead of seeking and asking, and dealing with it, that son kept himself away from his mom for 30 years and was bitter towards his mom. There was a day that son decided to go to a family member's wedding. Went to the wedding, and there that son was convicted of his sin. And he went and he saw his mom. And he told his mom he was sorry. And then he found out what he thought his mom said wasn't even close to what his mom said. And 30 years, he harbored hatred, bitterness towards his mom. Because he was not kind and gracious and forgiving. Do you know there's families split apart today because people aren't kind and tenderhearted and forgiving? Do you know there's churches split apart because people are not kind, tenderhearted, forgiving? That is the spirit God wants us to have in our lives. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. This ties us all together. I want you to look at this next verse here. I want you to look at this next verse. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Now we know in Scripture, when it was written, there wasn't the breakdowns that we have today. I believe this thought from Ephesians 4 flowed right in to Ephesians 5. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And by grieving the Holy Spirit, if you have a bitter spirit, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. You don't grieve the Holy Spirit by having a kind spirit. And you have a kind spirit by being tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. And as you seek to have this tender heart, as you seek to have this, be ye followers of God. Forgive as God has forgiven you, but be ye followers of God as dear children. Be imitators. Be imitators of God. Do you know what we need today to have the right spirit? We need to be imitators of God. How would that look? It would look like a kind spirit, not a bitter spirit. If I'm getting ready to imitate God, let's go look at the life of Jesus real quick. If anyone could have had bitterness, anyone could have had wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, it could have been Jesus. Could it not? Now, we know he is incapable of sin. He could not sin. We understand this. But in our human minds, could he not? Because you look, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. How many of us would have got bitter? We came to our family. We came to the ones that should have taken us in, and they wouldn't take us in. They wouldn't do anything. What would you have done? We become bitter. He went and he helped people. He performed miracles. And he was accused of things he didn't do. How many of us would have got bitter? Would have got angry, would have had wrath, would have had malice, would have had clamor, would have had evil speaking. But not Jesus. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was scourged. And hanging on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He could have got bitter. He could have got angry. But he said, "Father, forgive them." You and I, be imitators of Jesus, need to take our hurt give it to God and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And give it to Jesus. Be kind. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving. A bitter person lashes out. A bitter person pushes the agenda. A bitter person does that, but a kind person puts others first, glorifies God, tender, compassionate, and forgive. You know what this world needs to see today? God's children being tender and gracious and forgiving and living a life that imitates the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus put others before himself every day. Even when he went to the cross, he put you and me upon his shoulders and died for us. Heavenly Father, we love you.